2 hours and 7 minutes into the EVA, and we show you're leaving Halo at around 2:15, and now that's for a 4-hour EVA. We've extended you 30 minutes for a total EVA of 4 hours. We'd like, before you go on, to have a good EMU check and sit down and regroup and figure out a plan of attack on the surveyor. One thing we would like to make sure is that you remain away from directly below the surveyor as you move up to it. That is, move up to it on one side or the other, either north or south.
There's a new instruction.
We concurred with that. We were talking about it last night. We're going to approach it from the side.
Roger.
Mission Control has recommended now that they plan for a 4-hour extravehicular activity period. They are extending the length of stay on the moon. And now...
Hands complete. Probably ought to get rock, one of these rocks here, and just throw it in.
Yeah, I think we ought to.
How about, you want to get this one?
Sure, one in for a sample bag.
They're going to put one of the rocks in the sample bag. They have the hand tools stowed back on the carrier. They're just about through with those. And they were instructed, of course, as you heard from Mission Control, to rest, to check the EMU, to check the condition of the life support system thoroughly. And they were told to sit down and rest a minute. This is going to be interesting, how they get down and back up.
Okay. Here. Take one quick picture so we can save some film. All right, here goes where it came from. Did you say?
No voice there at that moment. They apparently are beginning to get their gear back together. To now, as you heard Pete Conrad say,
those
also.
Are holders for this, these sample bags are ridiculous, you know.
Some of the holders for the sample bags, Al Bean says, are ridiculous. He doesn't think that they're operating too well. Of course, the astronauts have these pressurized gloves on. They are quite bulky, and they don't have the greatest mobility in the world at all when they're inside a pressurized spacesuit. And so, in holding bags and cameras and handles and tools and so forth, it's a bit cumbersome.
Roger, Al.
Let's move up on the rim of the surveyor crater and start getting some rocks.
Moving up on the rim of the surveyor crater from the south. Surveyor is on the eastern slope of this crater to their right. This is going to be another one of the interesting parts of this mission, this examination of surveyor. And astronauts Al Bean and Pete Conrad have been outside the spacecraft for 2 hours and 10 minutes with another hour and 50 minutes to go. And we'll report more to you on this from Houston and from the moon in just a few minutes. Now back to Washington.
The Voice of America is broadcasting worldwide with live coverage of the flight of Apollo 12. Today, the second EVA, extravehicular activity. Astronauts Charles Pete Conrad and Alan Bean outside the spacecraft for the second period. A 4-hour period with at least an hour and a half remaining. And the climax of that walk to come up when Alan Bean and Pete Conrad go down the side of a crater to the landing site of the Surveyor 3 spacecraft. We'll return to live coverage of these and other events in this second lunar walk following this summary of late world news.
America's space explorers are taking their second moonwalk. It began well ahead of schedule Thursday at 4:01 GMT when Commander Charles Conrad stepped out of the Intrepid and onto the lunar surface. Astronaut Alan Bean followed 10 minutes later. They began their explorations moving south of the Intrepid landing site. Main purpose of the second moonwalk is geological exploration of their landing area in the Ocean of Storms and to visit the now inactive Surveyor 3 spacecraft, which soft landed on the moon almost 3 years ago. They have been asked to bring parts of the Surveyor back to Earth for scientific inspection. News dispatches from Chile report that armed forces units have been placed on a state of alert in Santiago province. President Eduardo Frei is reported to have met with his superior security council made up of top-ranking members of the armed forces and police. The president is quoted as saying that the situation is tranquil in the country. There has been unrest in the armed forces, who are demanding faster action on pay increases, which they were promised after a recent mutiny of one unit of the army. American and Soviet representatives will hold the second working session of preliminary talks on strategic arms limitation in Helsinki Thursday. Both sides have described the private talks in the Finnish capital as preliminary and exploratory to define the basis for future substantive negotiations. The two sides have also said statements would be issued only when developments warrant it. Visiting Japanese Prime Minister Eisaku Sato and President Nixon will take up economic matters in their second round of talks at the White House Thursday. President Nixon said the first meeting was very constructive. The Japanese Prime Minister said that he believes that cooperation between Tokyo and Washington is becoming increasingly important for the maintenance of world peace and stability. Defense Secretary Melvin Laird told the Senate Foreign Relations Committee in two meetings of the specifics involved in President Nixon's plan for South Vietnamese to assume a larger share of the Vietnam War. Mr. Laird told newsmen he had discussed both the transitional and residual American forces. The transitional force presumably referred to support troops, while the residual force would be the small number of American advisors to remain permanently in South Vietnam to help train the South Vietnamese Army. Lebanon's Prime Minister-designate Rashid Karami announced that a national committee has been set up to help resolve the impasse over the formation of a new government. Mr. Karami expressed hope that the new committee will overcome certain obstacles in the way of forming a government. He identified these obstacles as the positions of different parliamentary groups. Britain's disarmament negotiator, Lord Chalfant, says the U.S.-Soviet strategic arms limitation talks in Helsinki may decide whether the world can survive this century without a nuclear disaster. He said during a disarmament debate in the U.N. General Assembly's main political committee that if the Helsinki talks fail, repercussions of that failure will spread far beyond the boundaries of the two superpowers. Lord Chalfant also stressed that the Helsinki talks will also affect disarmament discussions underway at Geneva and the United Nations. Soviet President Nikolai Podgorny has pledged his country to strengthening friendly relations with Turkey. Mr. Podgorny made the comments at a dinner for the visiting Turkish President Cevdet Sunay. President Podgorny also repeated the Soviet charge that what he termed Israeli militarists are responsible for the failure to obtain a peaceful settlement in the Middle East. Mr. Podgorny told the Turkish president that the Soviet Union hopes for a settlement of differences among the population of Cyprus throughout what the Soviet president called intra-communal talks. The State Department has condemned a resolution of the Egyptian National Assembly blaming the United States for lack of progress toward a settlement of the Middle East problem. A State Department spokesman said the Egyptian statement is based on false charges against the United States, and he said that American-Soviet talks on the Mideast will resume soon. The superstar of world soccer, Pelé of Brazil, kicked the 1,000th goal of his professional career in the jam-packed Maracanã Stadium of Rio de Janeiro Wednesday night. That's a summary of the news from the Voice of America, Warren Shear reporting.
This is the Voice of America broadcasting throughout the world with live coverage of the flight of Apollo 12. Now some 133 hours and 47 minutes into that mission. At the moment, astronauts Charles Pete Conrad and Alan Bean are in their second moonwalk. They've been out for about 2 hours and 47 minutes. Very shortly, they will be going down into what we call the Surveyor Crater, the crater containing the Surveyor 3 spacecraft that landed there in 1967. Let's pick up the running commentary from the astronauts themselves and from correspondent Rhett Turner at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston.
The astronauts are on the rim of the Surveyor crater. They're now going to move in a generally eastern direction down the very gentle slope.
Reminder on that film pack, cycle one frame before you start.
Roger. We cycled one before we took it off, too. I think we're in good shape, Houston.
Cycle an extra frame and with the color film in the one good remaining camera. Apparently they're not going to bother using that somewhat defective camera because the handle is loose.
Pull this out of the way. The lock is what's driving me buggy.
A rock is driving Pete buggy, he says. It's probably in one of the bags attached to his side. Or either he sees a rock that is so interesting that it is driving him buggy, as to use a good old American phrase. That's as contemporary as today.
Hold the camera.
This phrase, buggy.
Got it.
Pete is a contemporary person, if ever there was one.
And what?
A real bon vivant. And they seem to be enjoying it and living up to their... the brilliant reputations during all of this traverse, all of this lunar activity there on the surface of the moon. Two expert test pilots now becoming geologists.
That's it, babe. No, loose tray. Okay, let me put it on.
They're working with...
this is a good plane, too. Okay. Hope we didn't get anything on the Rizzo lens inside. I bet we got some dust on it.
They're working with the one good remaining Hasselblad camera. They had to change magazines... and now they are worried about getting dust on
it. There you go.
They've been on the surface of the moon 2 hours and 20 minutes. They will be outside another hour and 40 minutes.
Over here. Yeah, I think a strap on you or something like that, so each of you, so if you want to lean over and pick up the rock, the other guy just holds the strap, you lean over and pick up the rock and go. Get some bigger sample bags. Hey, Pete, what am I...
Good shot, Al.
What do you want? I was going to say, as long as we're going to... We're moving on, Houston.
He mentioned the strap. They may have attached that tether, although both of them are going on down into the crater. That may or may not have been the tether he mentioned. He's talking about holding on to a strap while one leans over.
So I held on to that strap of the surveyor bag, and he leaned right over and picked it up. I have to get back up. It's not that... you're heavy or anything, it's the fact that you have such poor balance. Go ahead.
The strap he referred to is on...
Houston, before you go much further, could you stop and have a little break there before you proceed on down the slope?
Yeah, we're just going to move to the area where we could stop and case the joint. Al, grab a shot of that bead of glass there and we'll bag it. Okay.
Pete said to Al, grab a shot of that piece of glass there and we'll bag it. Another interesting rock. Every new step they take, they see something that appears interesting to them geologically. And so they're going to try to bring back the very most possible. The strap to which Al was referring a moment ago is a strap which holds a surveyor parts bag on Pete's side. And he can just grab hold of this strap. And Pete can lean over to the surface and pick up a rock with his hand. Their main problem is balance with this heavy backpack on them.
You know, we keep collecting a lot of the same type of rock because there just doesn't seem to be any other kinds around. I haven't seen any microbrecci the whole day. I've looked around for it.
Al's been looking for one of the geologically interesting types, which he hasn't found.
I haven't seen nothing that looked... particular at all, except on the surface.
Haven't either.
He's seen no vesicular rocks, some basaltic types.
Roger, we copy those comments. Pete, now we show you're 2 plus 23 into the EVA, and based on a 4-hour EVA, you'd be leaving Surveyor at 2 plus 50. But don't rush. We'd like to make sure you get a good rest before you go into it.
Okay.
They have about
give me a rock or two, Pete, and I'll stick it in.
They have about a 25-minute period, 25 to 27 minutes now, to play around with the surveyor, to work with it, to use this large set of cutters to remove some of the material from the surveyor. It's there right before them, less than 100 meters in front of them in the direction they're moving.
We just made a sample of a glass bead and some local rock on the south edge of the Surveyor crater in Houston, and it's going into bag 14D.
14D.
Back to all our training. I'm trying to remember who the guy was and kept saying, whatever you do, don't get dust on the dome.
Oh, that's too good to pass up.
Jog on here for a little bit, Houston, and get a little bit closer to the Surveyor and look it over.
That remark is too good not to repeat and explain to you. The gnomon is the vertical scale and color code indicator, the color chart. And the guy who trained them told them, whatever you do, don't get dust on the gnomon. And Pete laughed as he's looking at the gnomon in his hand because it is just black with this lunar soil, which is sticking to everything.
Can you give us a comment on how far you're sinking in?
Not sinking in very far at all. This is fairly firm stuff. And I'm down in the crater about the same distance down as Surveyor is. I'm just going around it radially. Would you say so, Al? Yeah, I'd say that I think Houston is just concerned about us getting down in this crater. We've been thinking about
okay.
it too, Houston.
Now, don't worry
about it, Houston, because it's no strain. I'm 200 feet away from it. I'm at the same level. The ground is firm, and I could go right back up the way I came out with no strain at all.
That's right.
Roger, sounds good.
It was going to be last night when we were talking about it. Yeah, it is. I don't think there'll be any sweat.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, let's do.
Get right over here, and we'll park all our gear, take ourselves a little rest, go over your photo plan, and then we'll have
okay,
at it.
Okay, let's go right over here.
Now
okay.
They're going to get a little of the rest. Mission Control has been urging upon them.
Okay, we'll do it. Stop and do it right here. Trying to see which way it landed.
They're down in the crater
okay.
at the same level.
When you're looking at it there, would you also try to determine whether there's any effect from the dust during the descent? That is, could you determine whether there's more dust on either the west or the east side of any of the bays, and the north or the south side of the camera?
Approaching.
Okay, well, sure. Well, I actually flew around it. However, I probably passed closer to it than I am parked to it right now. No, that's not really true. I'll tell you the way that dust was going, it probably went right over top of it. You know, that's right. Any dust you hit on the edge would never go down in this crater.
Yeah, what happened to your volume, Al?
I don't know how to. Sounds good to me.
We read you both loud and clear.
I'm talking loud enough. Okay, no problem. I'm going to move you up here just a little, Pete, without any tools, which makes it pretty easy. But look, I'll tell you what, let's take the tool carrier with us. I think
yeah.
we go right up the other rim and around to
right on out.
Big blocky baby there. And,
hey, that's
where
you hit that
dead
line.
That over there, that neat crater.
Yeah.
Well, I'd rock you. Just give me just off the back of the limb.
They're approaching. They have entered the crater on the south rim, have worked down inside this large crater, which is some 200 meters wide. They are working from the south edge down around inside, around to the east quadrant, and that's where the Surveyor is located, just down inside, 20, 30, 40 meters down inside from the east edge. And they're working toward it now.
You're down there. Let me take some pictures up here around it. Okay.
They're just a few meters
see
apart.
See which way it came in. See the way this gear pit's dug in over there? Dug up dirt, you're still sitting there.
Yeah.
Still make a good shot. We're not supposed to take pictures of that leg. We'll have to do it, though.
Mission Control has been a little worried about them not taking enough rest as they proceed. They're so keyed up, I doubt if they ever would.
No, this was brown, and I don't remember ours being brown there at the Cape. Kind of a light tan, or maybe that's the way it's changed color. What color was this one? Houston white? When it started out?
Stand by on that.
Yeah, it looks a light tan now.
He's asking the color of something that they brought with them.
Hey, this crater isn't as steep as we thought, Pete.
I better be careful. I'm going to get dust on her. Yeah.
up here and just read the last picture.
The crater isn't as steep as they thought it would be. They thought it was to be about 14 degrees.
The equipment bays were white on the side, and the scoop itself was a light blue.
They're describing the color of the surveyor.
Well, we'll get down there and get closer inspection. What was the general color of all the structure? For example, all the struts and the lights.
They're asking what...
It's all white. The equipment bays and the primary structure was all painted with a white paint.
The surveyor originally was with a white paint.
I wanted to look at it more closely.
Now it looks tan to them.
It's changed color, huh?
It sure has. The sun's cut that paint brown.
They think the sun... They think the sun has bleached the white paint to a brown color.
Softer, but there's no tendency to slip down or anything like that.
I know.
I don't think it's any deeper. A little softer, maybe. Maybe a little deeper. Why don't I move this down here just a little bit closer, Pete?
Al says he thinks that the soil under his feet is just a little deeper, but no more slippery than in other spots they've traversed. The slope is very gentle, apparently less than the 14 degrees they expected.
Well, that's going to make some beautiful pictures on the way that's weathered since then. That looked like the pictures we saw a long time ago. That's going to be good.
Oh, that is interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah, look at how it's kind of made them into... Once again, it looks like something rained on it. They've taken on a little...
I wonder if that was from us.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Pete has wondered if he dusted the surveyor when he flew over it in landing.
Some lines along here from the north... That'd be the north heat to the southwest. See those lines running along through the crater here?
There's some...
I'll take a picture of that.
Some lines down inside the crater. I'm going to take a picture of it.
And this thing is dusty. 7-8...
The camera's dusty.
Just do this.
There have been...
Yeah, look at those lineal patterns here, Houston, right down inside the crater. And they're not laying at all in the same direction. It's not from us. Not from the LEM.
Some linear patterns inside the crater. Not from the lunar module landing, certainly.
Hey, I'll just get a picture right across there.
Yes, I did, Pete.
Why don't you go ahead and put this together?
Al and Pete are approaching from the southwest.
While you're there, just a second.
Looking the surveyor over. They've been told to stay back a few meters from it.
A place to rest.
To approach from the side and not to get below it on the slope of the moon. Mission Control worried about soil giving way and possibly toppling that surveyor over on them, obviously. They've been told to approach from the sides or from above. And not to get too close yet.
Surveyor landed April 19th, 1967.
Over 2.5 years ago.
What are you trying to get? No one does drop something down in there.
Surveyor 3 has been on the surface for over 2.5 years. Now, the first men from Earth to see another object sent from Earth to another planet are examining it.
This one broke. We might have to put that one on. There you go. The reliability. I will not speak it.
Conrad and Bean inside the surveyor crater. They've been outside the spacecraft for 2 hours and 32 minutes now. They've been given a go-ahead for a total of 4 hours on this EVA period. That is the theoretical limit of their portable life support systems. On the EVA some hours ago, the first period on the moon, they stayed outside for 4 hours and still had about an hour to spare according to their own individual oxygen and power usage. Now, they have a large set of cutters which they will use to clip off parts of the surveyor and return to Earth. We'll be hearing them discuss that in a minute. The cutters are about 2/3 of a meter long with a long handle, and you can get an awful lot of leverage with this cutter mechanism. It's the kind used by cattlemen in putting up fences And you can get great cutting power from the torque, from the inertia, the leverage you can apply with the long handles. And the astronauts are carrying the cutters in their hand tool carrier. Mission Control has on several occasions instructed the astronauts to stop and rest. They haven't done that, however, and nobody's making too big an issue of it, allowing the astronauts to, quote, press on. And that's a phrase that all of the astronaut crew and the men of Mission Control use quite often in their simulations and training. Well, let's press on from that to the next event. Press on. That almost may be an anthem for the men in the space program. Let's press on. Something new next time. What's next? The astronauts themselves have an immense amount of personal leeway in spite of the fact that all of the timeline, all of the events have been minutely planned almost to the second. This sort of planning is necessary in order to assure their safety and also in order to assure that they're... that all of the engineering details necessary have been met. A barrier there now, or with one of the cameras. They're down in... We landed on April 19th, 1967, 2.5 years ago. We expect them to go up very close and to cut off some parts in just a little while, during which they may work in this area according to the timeline scheduled. Pete Conrad and Al Bean, Lunar Ocean of Storms... on the voyage of Apollo 12. This broadcast coming to you through Washington and Houston and the Voice of America.
15 feet, one picture. 11:15, let me get it checked.
Two pictures of the surveyor, Photo Bay A. They're talking about...
Maybe I better back up. I had it, boy. How's that?
Hey, Pete, do you think there's a...
No, sir. Boy, it should... Okay, what's next? Photo TV sector, F-8-15, three pictures. Okay, let me move down. It sure does.
They have a checklist. Each of the men has a check... they have a checklist mounted on the sleeves of the things which they must do.
Well, raise the visor. It's not so brown, but it's... Man. Okay. Shovel is in gray. Compacting of the dirt there. Yeah.
Describing the survey.
TV sector, F-8-15-3. Now I have photo scoop imprints. Two in stereo.
Photo the photograph the TV sector, photograph the scoop and surveyors that had a trenching tool on it, a scoop.
Well, that color chart has sure changed colors these days. Okay, let me get a quick shot of it.
Al raised this gold light filter from in front of his helmet so that he could get a better idea of the colors. He says it still is tan.
F-8, 5 feet, 2 in stereo. Okay.
Photograph the foot in the prints.
Okay, let me try. And a little closer. Have to really bend over. No, you just back up. But where are you shooting now? Shooting right there where the
shooting
place is.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm
the next one is photo of the foot pads, two prints, F-8-5-2 in stereo. Wait just a second, I'll get it.
Now Al is to photograph the foot pad imprints.
Okay, I'll get the foot pads now. And then I'll also get the dirt that's on them. That looks good.
As the men in the space program sometimes call it, that checklist mounted on the sleeve. The astronauts call it a checklist, which is its proper term. Among students the world over, it could be called a crib sheet.
F-8-5 in stereo.
Okay, will do.
Get it.
Hey, that disturbed it, all right.
Well, we'll be able to get those options to surveyors on no strain. Get a bunch.
Al says he'll be able to get the rocks around the surveyor with no strain, a whole bunch.
Okay, next one, Pete. Photo vernier engine bay A, F-11, 5 feet, one picture. Okay.
Photograph the vernier engine bay area. Bay A.
Get a little bit to the east. That's pretty good. The engine is still green.
Yeah.
In fact, that green seems to have had less change than most of the rest. Okay, Pete, that's complete.
Total large box A, F8, 5 feet, one picture.
Okay.
Photograph large box, Bay A, one picture.
I'll check it down there, real quick.
The big box. Okay.
Pete Conrad reads off this checklist, and Al does the work with the camera.
They will do.
Okay, now be careful about the glass.
Okay. And they want you to smoke that over carefully and photo wipe and then photo the...
Now be careful. Let me look and see what it looks like.
Okay. Houston, not a bit of this glass is cracked. One little piece down here looks like it no longer reflects. But other than that, it's in perfect condition. A little warped. Segments warped. But other than that, it looks pretty much the same. The thing that's most amazing to me is how it's turned so brown.
Roger, we copy that, Al.
The white paint.
With my,
the white paint is turned
brown.
I'm
going to wipe it, but not with my glove. I'm going to wipe it with this little cloth that protects my wrist ring. It doesn't have any structural... anything structurally associated with it.
The wipes off just like you'd expect us to wipe off glass.
You wipe a couple spots, so it might... It's going to be tough to show this, Pete. It's in the shadow.
He's putting his wrist up on some of the glass on top of the photo power supply. The glass mirror is designed to reflect solar heat. And this small piece of material which covers the pressure ring around the flexible ring at his wrist has no structural need, so if it did hang up or become snagged on the glass, it wouldn't impair the spacesuit or endanger the pressurizing mechanism. It's just as though you would reach up and wipe off a mirror with your wrist.
I did. There's no way a thing could slide down the hill on us the way it's dug in.
Pete, making the comment that there's no way this thing could slide down the hill, which should allay the trepidation of mission control that they shouldn't approach it from below.
Let me try 5-6.
Apparently firmly embedded on the slope.
Shock absorber struck the dirt. Looks like it took some of the shock. Other than that, the front one didn't appear to do that.
One of the shock absorbers, one of the struts, did absorb some of the shock of landing.
No, that's for sure. Okay, Pete, what's next? Back up 15 feet and take it.
The surveyor, upon landing, did not slide down the hill at all, apparently.
Okay, let me get 11, 15, 1. It's going to be a tough shot because it's in the sun, but I'll just let it go. Get over here, that might help it.
He's moving around now for a photograph that has to be taken very much in the direction of the sun toward the east. He apparently is to the west of the surveyor. So he says it's going to be a tight shot.
How's that for 15 feet, Pete? You're more than 15, okay? Yeah, you're good. Okay. Point too high. I know what I'm trying to shoot the...
Al Bean and Pete Conrad, as they're working around the surveyor at this point, taking pictures of it as before they disturb it, so that engineers and scientists on Earth can know just what has happened to this spacecraft that's been on the moon for 2.5 years. We'll have more later.
The Voice of America's continuing coverage of the flight of Apollo 12. That coverage continues following this summary of Late World News.
The moon-exploring American astronauts are still hard at work after about 2.5 hours of walking the surface of the moon. Astronauts Charles Conrad and Alan Bean are in excellent spirits and appear to be thoroughly enjoying themselves. At the moment, they are at the site of the Surveyor 3 spacecraft, which landed on the moon 2.5 years ago. Astronaut Bean says the texture of the moon changes from time to time, as they walk from smooth, light, dusty material to a sand-like coarse substance with a pockmarked surface. Astronaut Bean says he doesn't feel any temperature changes, just a bit of warmth when holding metal objects. And Conrad says he feels like a giraffe moving in slow motion. The gravity pull on the moon is only 1/6 that of Earth. Dispatches from Chile report that security forces are on full alert in Santiago province, where unrest has been reported in the armed forces. Soviet and American delegations meet in Helsinki in a few hours for their second working session of bilateral strategic arms limitations talks. President Nixon and Japanese Premier Eisaku Sato meet at the White House for their second working session on Asian problems and topics of mutual concern. Today's subject is expected to be economic and trade issues. Lebanese Premier-designate Rashid Karami said he hopes that a new national committee to help resolve formation of a new government will overcome current obstacles. Egypt and Israel each reported heavy exchanges of fire across the southern part of the Suez Canal. Late dispatches report that Monrovia police are holding a suspect in the slaying of the Reverend Dillard Brown, American Episcopal Bishop of the Diocese of Liberia. UN General Assembly President Angie Brooks of Liberia proposed that international banks form a Peace Corps to assist banks in developing countries. The 24-hour general strike in Italy ended in outbreaks of violence when students and police clashed in Milan. Labor unrest was also reported in France and Britain. And a white funeral mass will be celebrated at Hyannisport, Massachusetts this morning for former Ambassador to Britain Joseph Kennedy, father of the late American president. That's a summary of late news from the Voice of America newsroom, Warren Shear reporting.
This is the Voice of America, broadcasting throughout the world with live coverage of the flight of Apollo 12. From the Manned Spacecraft Center at Houston, Texas, from our VOA Apollo News Center here in Washington. Astronauts Pete Conrad and Alan Bean have been outside their spacecraft for the second time, some 2 hours and 46 minutes. They have about an hour and 14 minutes to go in this EVA, a total of 4 hours. At the moment, Conrad and Bean are down the side of a crater at the site of the Surveyor 3 spacecraft, a spacecraft that has been lying on the surface of the moon some 2.5 years. Throughout this second EVA, we have had very excellent voice communications from the two astronauts as they walked about the lunar surface. They ranged as much as, some 300 meters away from the Intrepid, the landing craft. John Hammersmith of NASA, who has been with us throughout this broadcast, what are your impressions on this second EVA? The astronauts made their way down the side of this crater without any problem.
Yes, as Rat noted, after I'd commented about all the precautions that we were prepared to take, the conditions there were obviously much milder than we had anticipated as a normal situation. Of course, they were prepared for a situation more severe in terms of their ability to get around. It sounds like it has been very successful, and the geologists should be very happy with all the material it's brought back because it has been documented so well. This was one of the problems, if you will, of the first manned lunar landing, that they didn't have time to do all the things that they wanted to do, and they sort of had to pick up material and run with it rather than being able to really document exactly what they were picking up and just how they were doing it and where it lay and all this sort of thing. On this trip, they've obviously had plenty of time to pick their specimens very carefully and to very carefully and document exactly what was happening. It seems like, in some ways, as we listened to them, that they were doing it for our benefit, but that is for the general audience. But really, what our listeners have been hearing is some meticulous scientific observations and data gathering in process.
Well, really, this is the beginning of lunar exploration. As you say, Apollo 11 was to get there safely and return with some of the scientific findings as bonus.
That's right. That fulfilled the focusing objective of the Apollo program, which was to get the men there and return them.
Well, let's get back to the lunar surface via the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston, back to Pete Conrad and Alan Bean, who are still down in that crater next to the Surveyor. Let's go to correspondent Rhett Turner at Houston.
The astronauts have unstowed the cutters, the cutting mechanism, and are now cutting off some of the tubular material around the camera on the Surveyor craft. This camera is to be brought back as one of the primary pieces of material to be returned to Earth. Let's listen to Al and Pete.
It is a Y cable, but it's in a different manner. Not gonna... Okay. They didn't tell us either. Look at that. The extra ones. Yeah. I'll tell you what, you're just going to have to get that. I'm going to have to cut it on the other side. Just wait a second. Let me get in there. Okay.
Pete says there are a few more cables than they told us about.
The only piece they're going to get that way.
Cutting cables and support structure.
I got to cut the cable back here, though. Okay. Why don't you give that a cut right there, Pete? All right.
Pete apparently has the cutters, and Al Bean is holding on to the mechanism that's to be returned.
No, it goes around the camera. All right. Oh, no, it doesn't either. On those tubes, isn't it?
Yep.
On the three extras. It is. It's wired entirely.
No, you got to cut the other side of that little hole.
Yeah, I know.
There you go. Now you got it.
Got it.
There are several metal tubes which are part of the spacecraft structure itself, which on which is mounted the TV camera.
Hey, that cuts easy.
These tubes and wiring going to the camera are being clipped. Then the astronauts will be able to remove the camera from the Surveyor spacecraft.
Let me get in there close.
All of this mechanism has been on the surface of the moon for 2.5 years and will be an interesting thing for scientists to analyze because of the many parts in it. Think of all of the types of materials that are in a thing called a television camera. All of the wires, all of the types of metals, ceramics, plastics. So analysis on Earth after 2 years in a lunar vacuum should aid quite a bit to space technology. Now, in addition to the camera, the astronauts are scheduled to remove also some of the tubing and bring the tubing back, too, on various parts of the spacecraft. Let's listen to Pete as he goes about his work.
Hey, what? That antenna still pointed right to Earth.
Spacecraft antenna pointed toward Earth. The Surveyor bag, as it's called. The Surveyor bag is a bag which is mounted on the back of Pete Conrad's portable life support system. And this camera is being placed in the bag.
Okay, wait a minute. Be around in a minute. Look at how that...
They're cutting some of the tubing now, and they say that's a tougher tube than we're supposed to have. Al Bean's comment on the fact that it's tough to cut.
Just a little bit stronger than it's supposed to be.
Roger, we copy.
Tube. How about right here, Pete?
Roger, we copy.
Wait a minute. It's a shiny tube. That'd be a good one if we could cut it.
Where?
Right there? Oh, that's even thicker. Yeah, I just looked at it. Get the camera. Get the tube. Don't you bang it way out of that glass?
The tool, no kidding.
Hey, Pete?
Huh?
Don't you bang that glass one?
Some shiny... A shiny surface, which they believe has some thermal characteristic. One comment there a moment ago from Al Bean.
There you go. Half a piece off, and I'll collect it.
They've clipped one piece off, collecting it, putting it in the bag.
That's not glass.
Terrible. Man, forget it.
It's not glass, it's something is. Else.
That's sure not what we tried out in Houston.
No, the case.
That's metal with glass.
You better take a picture of it, though. It's very interesting.
Excuse me. I need to before you are there. Amazing. It's a shot, too. Get over on this side of it.
Okay.
Okay, that'll be a good shot.
Still taking pictures of the mechanisms that they're cutting apart. Carl says there, that'll be a good shot any time he takes a picture of something.
Come on, boy, we got to move. Excellent.
They're running a little behind time in this timeline now of activities.
Got it. Okay, whip around the other side of that scoop. Let's get that camera.
All right.
Wait, I'm going to open your bag. Bob. I'm not going anywhere.
Okay, no, they haven't. They haven't put it in the bag yet. The camera in the what's called the surveyor stowage bag.
Good. Okay. Still, all the parts are working. Thanks. Thanks to Joe Roberts, this bag's going to do the job. I think. There. We're part of this thing. Let me reach down in there and open it up now.
Opening up the stowage bag in preparation for putting the camera inside. They hadn't gotten to that a moment ago when I first mentioned it.
It works great. Thing popped out, it's wide open. Best it's ever been.
They're going to have to find a lot more room for stowing materials to be brought home on this mission than on the first trip to the moon.
You try to put it in the bag. Okay, I think it's open. Hey, I got a shiny tube for you. Okay, let me get it.
Pete has clipped off a shiny piece of metal now.
Here,
put it in the bag also.
Cut. Good cut.
Says Pete.
Good one, Pete. Okay, two more tubes on that TV camera, and that baby's ours.
In other words, they haven't quite released the tubing holding the TV camera up. They've been going around other parts of the spacecraft getting miscellaneous tubing, as instructed, to bring back to Earth.
Okay, done. All right.
Mission control planners, flight officials, were a little worried about the astronauts working around the surveyor. It is an odd-shaped vehicle, a tripod with many mechanisms mounted on it, a lot of them with sharp corners, a lot of metal protruding. The astronauts were instructed to be very careful.
Lay it on you, man.
Conrad laughed again.
Right in that side. Hey, is this ever lighter than that one in Houston?
They have the camera loose now, putting it in the sack.
I can hold that thing with one hand and open the bag. Get in there. Get in that bag.
Al's putting it in the bag on Pete's bag.
In the bag. Wait a second. Yeah, I got to zip it up. Good chill.
Copy, it's in the bag.
Everybody knows it's in the bag now. As I was about to say, the astronauts were instructed to...
Okay, let me get around the other side.
Be very careful.
Hard to zip. This is one of the hard parts.
Okay. That they not get too close to any of these protruding metal surfaces so that they would not puncture their spacesuits.
I won't. Stay right there. One more pull and I got it. Okay. I got lots of oxygen.
I think he's zipping up the bag now.
Okay, now let me put the covers down on it. Before you get that thing buried too big, now let me cut this scoop off. Well, okay, the scoop goes right in here.
Oh, you got a place for it.
Oh, sure. Didn't think you were going to leave without a scoop, did you?
No.
Looks like he's going to cut the scoop off of the surveyor and bring it back too, because it apparently will go in the bag.
That's the problem. That's what they said, but let me hold it.
Wait a minute.
Let me help.
Yeah,
you got it. That's good.
Oh, smooth as silk.
Cut that part right here. Now, that's right. They wanted it just after that joint. So cut it right there. The cut. And they wanted that joint if they could get it. They have to work. No, you're okay.
clipping off the small shovel on this surveyor, the scoop.
He's got dirt in it. He's got some of the original dirt.
Okay. An extra sample for you, Houston. Scoop's got dirt in it.
Well done, troops. Say, when you move out from here, right, well, first of all, we show you're 3 hours into the EVA, and you're about 10 minutes behind the nominal traverse we have figured out for a four-hour EVA. However, your plus consumables are holding out real well, so we suggest you go on with a nominal traverse. We may want you to cut down to perhaps just one sample at Blocky Crater.
Blocky Crater is a...
That's what I wanted to do, is go to Blocky Crater if you agree.
Hey, look at there, Pete. What? We thought this thing had changed color, but I think it's just us. Look, we rubbed into that battery.
Yeah.
It just seems shiny again. Let me get a shot at it.
Okay, go ahead.
I think that's what maybe figures it's collecting all this red dust.
Okay, Pete, now, before you leave there also, would you get some of those geo samples, which we've discussed, as well as some of the loose soil from that area?
Mission Control's circuit to us breaking up a bit.
Right now. Okay. Let's do it. Here's this rock right here. Let me give the surveyor tool a heave.
Okay.
We don't need it for anything, do we?
Houston, we don't need the surveyor tool anymore, do we?
If you've got the TV back at the limb already cut off, then there's no more need for it.
Okay.
That limb, that TV.
That's good. Okay. Al, have I got my scoop on?
I've got your full measure of rock right here.
Okay, let me go get the sample bag.
Al made the comment just a moment ago that apparently the reddish or brownish tinge of the surveyor is caused by dust getting up and coating the white paint. He rubbed against the battery box and apparently brushed some of that reddish cover off.
They got some platy ones.
There's a square one. I see one up there right now.
Where is that one that had the lines in it?
I think it's right over, right up here on the, by this crater, right up. I'll show you. Looks like...
Pete Nail, Houston, before you leave the area of the surveyor, would you take a look back at the surveyor and see whether the direction of the sunlight has any effect on the colors which you see?
They'll be moving on up to the north and thus viewing from a different way.
Get this in the bag, too.
They will be moving so that the sunlight is more with them.
It's quite round, wherever you look at it, up sun, down sun, or cross sun.
But strangely enough, that light brown rubs off. That's the funny part. It's funny because the dirt here is not brown.
Look, is that the rock right there? You know, these rocks, as they showed in the surveyor pictures, all have this soil built up around them.
Soil built around rocks.
All the fillets around.
Fillets. It's the geologist.
Trying to remember
column.
Where. I can't orient myself to the pictures. Can you?
No, there's. I think it's.
How about? Can we grab this one?
That's
right
a
here?
Good rock right there. I don't know whether I can get that or not. Let me see.
Conrad is now.
We have a comment on what you just said about brushing up against the battery case. Would you make sure that anything which you picked up against that battery case, you clean off your EMU?
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
There wasn't any signs of KOH anywhere.
We looked.
The battery case was tight.
Nice and tight and brown. Right here is the one, the square one, Pete.
Roger.
A little concern for Mission Control that there might have been some potassium hydroxide leaking out of the battery case. This could injure the EMU, the front of the spacesuit, if it got on it. Al says no indication of it, however.
Okay, you got it. Good show.
Okay, let's head for Blocky Crater.
Okay.
The thing they're describing now is from studying...
Sample bag number on that last one.
those rocks are too big for sample bags. They're all big rocks, Houston. Well, at least 6 inches diameter.
They're describing rocks near the Surveyor spacecraft. They have carefully studied all of the views photographed by Surveyor 2.5 years ago and looked over and described and commented upon rocks which have become familiar to everyone who has seen the pictures of that Surveyor transmitted back. Most of the rocks, as they commented, were too large to put in the sample bag in return, however.
All right, I'm with you.
Both of them are going to take a break at last. They've been outside on the surface for 3.5 hours.
Get up your pace when you're
I beg your pardon, 3 hours and 5 minutes. 3 hours, 5 minutes.
Go from side to side like on level ground. Look at that huge boulder out there. I wish we could go over there. There, get that boulder. There, straight ahead.
They're now climbing up the side of the crater to the north. Surveyor is on the east slope of this large crater. They're moving north, gradually up the side to what's called a rocky crater, and taking a little rest.
Yes. I'll see which one you're referring to. That one right there.
Yeah.
Oh, these down in here are bigger than that. Look at that right here. Look at that right there on your left. Look. You turn around and look.
A very large boulder.
Right there. That's a big one. Left. Come further left.
That's a pretty good size.
Let's get up out of the crater where we get up on the level ground. Okay.
Good tea?
Huh?
It was kind of hung up on the dome. Let me get the dome and pick it up. It's not usually on there.
The gnomon is the color standard and the vertical indicator. Covered with dust, apparently.
Okay, let's document up a sample here. And I think you had a photo of that whole blocky crater right there. That thing's spectacular.
It is.
They're now continuing their geological traverse. They have some more samples to document, pictures to take of it, and descriptions to make of rocks they pick up. They're moving toward...
It's a big, rocky impact crater.
They're making a call to Houston about a rocky impact crater.
Cooling us back to Min Cooling.
That was just behind the limb. They are now behind the limb as they move up the side of this Surveyor crater. About 150 meters away.
Losing your balance, but it doesn't seem to be. It's just harder walking, that's all.
Astronauts Pete Conrad and...
We have an EMU check.
Instructions from the ground to check the...
Sure could. We're right
light
at the top
system.
Of the rim. We can get a good place to rest. I'm rating 36% oxygen. We're okay. We're going to sample... I'll tell you what we're going to do, Houston. We're going to get an EMU check here. We're going to pick up one sample out of this rocky crater... Give you a partial pan of it because it's a pretty fantastically interesting crater with a lot of bedrock.